have a message tonight about an anchor. Anchor is Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that I found in my life that anchor that has held me for many, many years. I thank the Lord that He's been so sweet to me, and I know He's been sweet to you. Jesus is our anchor. And I'd like to read a scripture in Hebrews 6 and 19. And it says here, 6 and 19, that, let's read 18 too, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. You know, I just thank the Lord tonight for the anchor of our soul. Jesus, when we get saved, we have an anchor. We're not tossed anymore. We like the song was saying, you know, I'll sail the wide seas no more. I'm not tossed to and fro. I have an anchor. You know, and if you've ever been recently, well, a few months ago anyway, or a couple months ago, I was in a boat, but they put the anchor down, and the boat did not move after that. The boat didn't drift away. It was right there. The anchor held it. And I got thinking about Jesus, how when the anchor is down in our life and we have salvation, it holds us. Because in life, there's many storms, there are many tempests, there's things that happen, and we need an anchor. We need that anchor to help us to stay saved. There's disappointments, though. There's different things that happen. It's just part of life. We get sick, and we need the Lord to help us. All kinds of things happen to us, and we need an anchor. And you know, Jesus is that anchor. Isn't that wonderful? And He's also, the hope of heaven is another anchor. Do you ever think about when you're in different trials, do you ever think about that hope of heaven? And that helps you in your soul to keep pressing on another day. You think that someday I'll make it to heaven. If I keep being faithful, I'll make it to heaven. I was cleaning out some drawers and I came across a little poem I had wrote, but I need to kind of get it together. But anyway, it was about begin. And I said, you know, we're never going to get to heaven unless we begin. Well, you know, I think about so many people in sin, they'll say, well, you know I need to get saved. I know I need to do better, but they just don't start. And in this little poem, it's like, if you never begin, you'll never end in heaven. You have to begin somewhere. You know, everybody gets saved at different ages, but we have to get saved and we have to start somewhere. Or you know, too many of us, sometimes we put things off. Even in temporal things, we'll think, well, I know I need to clean out that junk drawer, but I'll put it off. Everybody seems to sometimes have a drawer like that where when you don't know what to do with something or you're in a hurry, you put the pencils in there and the ink pens in there or the leftover paper. You're not sure if you want to throw it away or not, so I'll put it in this drawer. And you know you need to go back someday and dump that drawer out and clean it all out, but you're just too busy. But you know, the Lord wants us to clean that all out. And in our lives, He wants us to be anchored in Christ and not have anything weighing us down. He wants us to begin. We have to begin or we'll never end. We have to begin somewhere for the Lord. Anchor also means it holds fast. Like that boat. That boat, when that anchor went down, the boat did not drift away. When we're anchored in Christ, we don't drift away. And we don't do that because we're anchored in Christ. We have something that anchors us. And, you know, we're unmovable. And you wonder sometimes, you look at saints and you think, well, all through the years, you know, I mean, you think, a true saint, they're unmovable. They're still going to be the same way next month, next year. They're not going to change. They're going to be just steadfast, unmovable. But what makes them that way? Is it because that person is special or you're special? It's because God in you, because Jesus is in you, that He holds you fast in the storms of life. You have an anchor. And that anchor is Christ Jesus. He holds you. And you can count on God to help you. You can count on Jesus to help you. He is the anchor. So we need to be held fast, and we don't drift away, and we're unmovable. I thought about a scripture over here in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. 58, it says here, you know, this anchor is wonderful. I just think, it says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, we need to always know that whatever we do for the Lord is not in vain. And sometimes we think as women, and we'll talk to them a little bit and then the men too, but you know, women at home, we have lots of things to do. And we raise children, we cook meals, and we do dishes over and over and over. And wash the clothes and all that. But you know, it's not in vain. It's not in vain to be a good mother. It's not in vain to be a good woman, to be a good virtuous wife. You know, it's not in vain because your work is going to be blessed. You're going to reap what you put into that. The same way with men. You know, they might get tired of getting up every day and going to work. But you know what? It's not in vain. You're going to be blessed by that. You're going to be blessed by being a faithful man, a faithful husband, of working and providing for your family. That is what God wants you to do. God wants every one of us to keep our place and do what God wants us to do and be faithful in that. And in the work for the Lord, whatever the Lord gives you to do, be faithful in that and wait on the Lord. You know, I remember one time I was talking to Janine earlier because I was going to ask her to sing, but she had to go on a trip with her husband. I thought about Sister Carla. She could help Sister Carla. And she was sweet about helping me learning the song. But, you know, I just wanted to sing that so much because the song had been such a blessing to me. But I was just thinking about Sister Janine says, well, you know, I've been practicing song, and I had a song at Easter, but there were so many songs, I didn't get to sing the song. And I said, well, honey, that's okay. You just wait on the Lord. Because you know the Lord can help you to sing that song another time. And what I'm trying to say is, you know, don't think that your work is vain. Just wait on the Lord. I remember Brother Sauter's taught me many times in Oklahoma City. We first moved here from Michigan. He said, wait. If the Lord gives you something, even if the Lord gives you a message, you don't get to preach it, you wait. And the Lord will open up and add more to that. If the Lord gives you a song, you don't get to sing it, wait on the Lord because he might give you another song to sing and just add to it. But we just need to wait. But we don't mean to get discouraged. We just wait on the Lord and the Lord will open up the way. He will open up things for us to do for the Lord. But we don't want to get under a bondage to that. But just wait on the Lord and keep being faithful to God. It says in the scripture, in Ephesians, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And I couldn't see any reason why people backslide, because there's no reason for them to get discouraged, but some people do, but they shouldn't ever get discouraged because they have an anchor. We have an anchor, and Jesus can take us through anything. Anything. There's many hard things in life that happen to us. But we have an anchor in Jesus. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go of Jesus. Jesus means too much to me. And I don't care what happens. There's nothing in this life. And I know that's a strong statement to say, but I know it's true. God promised in his Bible that he could take us through. He can help. He has examples in the Bible that we can be faithful to the Lord no matter what happens. And we have a hope of a heaven. And even if it came to our life, and even if we are going to die, we have a hope as a Christian that is so great. We have a hope. We know that Jesus is with us. Isn't that wonderful? We know that there's something else coming up that's going to be wonderful, and we can trust the Lord to take us through. You know, it's just wonderful that we can trust the Lord for these things and know that we can be unmovable. Unmovable. Be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I just thank the Lord that we can be unmovable. You know, an anchor, just like that boat. It causes that boat to not move and not drift away. It's an anchor. It holds you there. Well, Jesus is such a powerful, strong anchor in life that he can keep you saved, and you can be an anchor and be faithful to God no matter what. You have something you can depend on. It's Jesus. He's your very best friend. You know, all of us, we're very busy people, and we might want to be with each other more, and we can't have the time to be with each other like we want to be. But you know what? Jesus is your best friend. He can be with you all the time. He can help you with all your problems. He can answer prayer and do all kinds of things for you and I. And that's why Jesus is so great. 2 Corinthians, we want to read over here in 4th chapter and the 4th verse. It says, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't this wonderful? He has shined in our hearts. The glorious gospel has shined in our hearts to give us light and understanding. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, that the Lord did that for us. And he did it. And it says here that, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know what I see in you and I, what we should see in each other is Christ. We should see Christ in each other. We should see God working in each other, that the Lord has saved their soul. That's what's so precious about the saints. Is they're not pretending to be saints. They're not pretending to be Christians, but they truly are born again Christians. Salvation is an anchor. Every one of us should know I'm saved. Every one of us can know and go on to the second work of grace and be sanctified and know you're sanctified. Every one of us can know when the Lord has healed us and say, the Lord healed me. You know, we can have a foundation. It's not just a sandy foundation, but it's an anchor. It's something powerful. That's what keeps us. And it says here in the 9th, it says, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. I want to read up there a little bit. Miss Faith first. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. You know, sometimes I read different books, and I was reading a book a little bit about William Cooper, which pronounce it Cooper, but in our, if you see his name, it's C-O-W-P-E-R, but he pronounced it Cooper. William Cooper was born in the 1700s. I think he died in 1800. But his life was a hard life, but he wrote many beautiful hymns. You know, and through this life, and he got acquainted with a pastor named John Newton, and they were sent where he stayed there, and he stayed in a place where he rented or something there. But anyway, there was a beautiful garden in the backyard. They would sit there and write hymns, and they made a hymnal book. But through it all, this man had mental problems, and he had all kinds of problems in his physical life and everything. And he was distressed, and he was perplexed and all this. But he kept saving, even wrote hymns. And if you'd known his life, you'd say, how could he have done that? Well, it was because Jesus was in his life. He was really saved. Even though he had outward problems, the Lord was still using him and working with him. Isn't that wonderful? It was because the anchor he had. And then I think about different ones I just read. I mentioned Brother Warner, but, you know, I read about Brother Warner, and, you know, I don't know how I can say this, because I don't mean I take delight in his problems, but I take encouragement from his experiences to know that he was such a godly man, and God used him, but yet he was like us. He had problems, and he had bigger problems than even I have, you know, lots of things, and things went wrong in his life, and you know, his wife left him and married another man, and he kept on evangelizing. And, you know, I just think, how did he do it? How did he go and preach and you know, here his dearly beloved wife he loved so much left him. And not only left him, but married another man. And he kept evangelizing and preaching. How did he do it? I just thought, how did this man do that? I read about that, his life. And you know, but later on, about a year later, he got a telegram. Of course, we have technology today and all this that we can text each other on cell phones and things, but they didn't have that back then. He got a telegram one morning that Sarah had died. That was his wife. About a year after she left him, the Lord took her, sad, very sad, you know. But, you know, he had hard times. His little girl died. She was like 3 years old or something. And if you read about her, you know, she would sit at the piano and she would raise her little hand and say, "Hallelujah, tis done, tis done." She would copy what she saw in the religion. She saw Jesus and how that they praised the Lord. And this little sweet little girl passed away. He had to go through that. But you know, I'm saying this, saying that he had an anchor. It was Jesus. It wasn't Brother Warner altogether. Yes, he was a man that submitted to God, but it was Jesus that helped him through this. I was saying tonight to take courage that whatever it is, God can hold you and he can keep you. We don't know what we're going to face, dear ones. I think about these earthquakes. I'm glad that someone mentioned today, might have been, was it you, Brother Michael? Someone mentioned to pray. Anyway, but we do need to pray that the Lord have mercy and these earthquakes won't get worse. And maybe they'll stop because it's getting me kind of concerned a little bit, you know? Because what if it got worse? But you know, whatever happens, we can have an anchor in Jesus. And you know, it's so sad that the world is not getting the blessing that we have, because I think about that song I think that Brother Warner wrote. He said, you know, tell me not that Christ is in your desert, because I can't believe it not, you know. But, you know, but if the world could know what we have and the joy we have through Jesus, they would want it. They would really want it if they only knew. Like I said, the God of this world has blinded their eyes that they can't see. And so for us, our attitude should be, Lord, have mercy on them. Have mercy on them, because, you know, if it wasn't for the Lord and it wasn't for Jesus in my soul, I couldn't have this anchor. And I could be just like them, drifting away like a boat would just drift away without anchor. If I didn't have Jesus, I could be on drugs tonight. I could be divorced. I could be in all kinds of problems. But the Lord, because of the anchor he's given us, isn't it wonderful that he keeps us saved? He keeps us encouraged. And we don't have to take drugs. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Never have done it. And I just praise God that I never did it. I just thank the Lord that the Lord kept me from that. But you know, if we hadn't got saved, we could have been like that. We could have been one of those people. Any of us could have. But it's the anchor that Jesus has got into our life. And he's in our soul. And he keeps us saved. He keeps us on the right road. It's very dangerous to live without God in 2015 or any kind of year. But especially now, don't ever leave the Lord. Don't ever go back, because I'm telling you, it's dangerous. And if you're not with the Lord, you need to get with the Lord, because I'm telling you, we need something now in times like this. We need God. We need this anchor in Christ. I'm so thankful that I found the Lord, and he's been so sweet. He's been so wonderful. I just thank the Lord for that. Oh, I know that he is a great... Over here in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." You know, we know that if this house would fall, or our body decays or dies, or we get sick and die, we know that we have a hope of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that an anchor to us? Yeah. All we've known, now I know, all we've known is this life. So far, that's all we've experienced, you know. We're in a body, and I don't mean to be funny or anything at all, but I'm just saying, you know, we're in this body, we can't really be delivered out of the body. We can't get out of life. We're not going to do anything to get out of life till God takes us. So we're just waiting on the Lord, just whatever God wants. So we're waiting and we're trying to enjoy our life. We're trying to please the Lord. We're trying to fight the enemy through the power of God, do everything we can do to please the Lord, because we want to be ready so when God, this tabernacle is dissolved, when this life is over, we can enter into eternity with a clean soul and make heaven our home, and we don't have to worry about anything, that we can trust the Lord because we have set our anchor in Christ. And when life is over, we don't have to worry about it. We know God's going to take us and He's going to take care of us. And we haven't experienced that yet, but we know that we have an anchor in Jesus Christ, and we know where we are. We can trust the Lord and we can keep that hope as a comfort to us and as anchor to our soul. So we know that if this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." I'm telling you, if you try to fight the devil carnally, you're not going to win. You can't fight the devil carnally. You got to fight him spiritually. You got to fight him through prayer, for being humbling yourself and submitting to God, and be forgiving and be loving and fight the flesh and fight the temptations that the enemy tries to present to us. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But you can't fight the devil carnally. You can't try to fight it that way. It's not going to work that way. You have to fight it with Jesus helping you as an anchor. And it says here, 10:4-5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Do you ever have to cast down imagination? Does the enemy sometimes bring imagination to you that you imagine this, you imagine that, and it's not true, and you just, Lord help me, not to even think that way. Do you have to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ? Yes, you do. You have to cast down imaginations. You have to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. I remember reading one of the older books that was this minister, and this lady came to him in the congregation, and she says, "You know, I'm just depressed all the time. I'm discouraged and I'm depressed all the time." And he was the type of preacher and pastor, you know, I don't know if he was the pastor, but he was a preacher. And he was always encouraged and happy. He never was depressed. He never was discouraged. He never had a problem with that. Well, you say, well, how can, you know, that's just the way he was. So he couldn't really help her. He didn't know how to understand her. So he thought when she left, he said, "I'll just sit down and I'll try to be depressed and discouraged and see what she's battling." So he started saying, "I'm really depressed, I'm really discouraged," and he tried to give into that. Kept saying it, until this gloomy spirit just started coming at him. And he said, "Oh, God, rebuke the devil." He started rebuking the devil, praying. He said, I don't want that. And he fell on his knees. He said, "Oh, God, forgive me. God, forgive me." You know, saints, I want to say something. We got to resist discouragement. We have to resist depression. It's of the devil. Well, you say, well, some people are just naturally that way. Well, you better get unnaturally that way, because you got to fight the devil. It's not going to do you any good to be like that. You're going to be unhappy. You're going to be miserable. The enemy's going to get in there. The only way for us to really enjoy our life is ask God to help us and get this anchor in us and rebuke the enemy and ask him to help us to overcome our thoughts. You know, the devil works on our mind and our thoughts to bring depression to us. If we don't listen to the devil, we'll never get depressed. That's right. If he comes at us and we don't listen to his warfare, I mean, he tries to warfare all of us. But you know, I recognize you, devil, and I'm not going to talk to you. And I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to praise the Lord. So we have an anchor in Jesus to fight these things. So it says, our warfare is casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I remember reading one time there was a revival going on, and this minister came to hold the revival. Say, I'll just use someone for example, like I know, say, Brother Marty came here to hold the revival, or someone came. But they didn't get up. When it's time to preach, they didn't get up. So the other ministers in the congregation went and got up, because they would not get up. And so in this story, this man, the preacher just wouldn't get up. And so finally these other ministers, after a couple nights of this, said, "What is wrong with you?" You know, they had a little meeting with him. They said, "You came to hold this revival, and you're not getting up." He said, "Well, I don't even know if I'm saved. I'm just so discouraged. I'm having trouble." And they said, "What? You're having trouble? You're coming to preach to us and you're having these troubles, you know?" They said, "That's the devil." They said, "Have you sinned?" "No, I haven't sinned." "Have you done anything wrong?" "Nope." They said, "Then you need to rebuke the devil. And you need to get up and preach." And they laid hands on him and rebuked that spirit, rebuked the devil, and he was free. And he got up to minister to him. But see, the devil, I've read in some of these books that ministers got up behind the pulpit to preach, and the devil told them to curse and swear. I know I've never had that, and I never want it. But I mean, the devil told, and they rebuked the devil right behind the pulpit. They're rebuking the devil in their mind. "I plead the blood of Jesus. I'm not going to listen to the devil." I mean, there's all kinds of things that we have to cast down imaginations. Cast down these things. It says here, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I was thinking about that scripture in Revelations, but it says, "We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." And saints, I know sometimes you hear me say this. I don't say it to boast, but lots of times I'll testify, I'll say I'm saved and sanctified. I don't hear that much here, but you know, you can say it if you don't want to, and you can't say it if you want to. That's up to you. I don't, you know, but I just think that sometimes it's good for us to express to God and testify that we're saved and sanctified, and overcome the enemy, or that I'm saved and I'm still encouraged and I'm still pressing on for the Lord, you know. And we overcome that. It's an anchor to us. I mean, if anybody knows where you are with the Lord, you ought to know. You know, and so you need to be confident in that. And a clean life and a pure life brings confidence. You have confidence in your own life because you know what kind of person you are. You know how you're living. You know living free from sin. You should testify and be confident. That's an anchor. That's an anchor. You know, the devil is not going to, he's going to try to come around and try to discourage and depress and but the saints, that we praise God. That's why we come with singing. You know, when we come to the meeting, we sing. That's why we sing, because we're inviting the Lord to be here, and we're praising Him and singing. That gives the gloom away. It brings encouragement, and that's why we do that. And that's an anchor. I thank the Lord for that. I want to read over here. Two steps of holiness. There's two parts of holiness. Holiness consists of two parts. What's the first part? Forsaking that which is evil. If you want to be holy, you have to forsake that which is evil. The second, cleave to that which is good. On those two things, if you would work in your life all the time, anything that would lead you away. It might not even be evil at the time, but it may be something that would lead you away from the Lord or drift you away. You need to forsake that and cleave to what is good. And when we do that, the Lord will help us. I'd like to read over here in Matthew when Peter was talking to the Lord in Matthew 16. And 15, it says, Jesus said to Peter, he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we know that that was not, he was not building his church on Peter, but he was telling Peter, upon this rock, Jesus Christ, I will build my church. That is the anchor. Jesus is the anchor. Jesus is the only way that we can get saved. He's our only hope. Is Jesus. There's no other way that we can't climb up. We can't just try to be good. That's not going to work. We can't just try to, you know, turn over a good leaf or whatever they say, or try to be a better person. That's good in itself, but you got to have Jesus to save your soul. You got to have his blood. That's the only thing that God's going to recognize when we die is Jesus' blood. So we got to be saved. So upon this rock I will build my church. And I want to read over in Zephaniah. It's just a little bit before Matthew. Zephaniah in the 3rd chapter, in the 14th verse. It says, Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. So the Lord is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. You know, we have an anchor that is mighty. It's not flimsy. It's not sinking sand. This anchor is a rock. It's powerful. And you know, it's just like we teach on divine healing. It's a privilege. It's a power. It's God's power that heals us. God is a mighty God. He's a powerful God. And Romans 8:35, we want to read a little bit over there. It says here, Who shall separate us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? This question mark. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Oh, I'm so thankful in 2015 with all the things going around. And we don't have to name it all, but we know a lot of it's going around in this world. The sin and the awfulness of it. All these things, we have an anchor in Christ that's steadfast. Unmovable. It is our only hope. It's our only hope is to have Jesus with us. Remember that. Remember that Jesus is our only hope, and we've got to keep with him and love him and adore him. It says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, lots of times we talk about how much we love God or God loves, you know, but really, God really does love us. God loves us so much. He loves us so much. And we probably don't even realize how much he does love us individually. Every one of his children, he loves you so much. God loves you. God wants to help you. God wants to work out things for you. He wants to answer your prayers. He wants to open doors for you. He wants to bless you. All that we've got to do is believe and pray and keep close to God. And he will help us. You know, there's some times in my life that he's surprised me. And he's answered my prayers before I even prayed them. And maybe I just thought it in my mind. Maybe I just had a desire in my heart and I didn't really pray about it. Because maybe I thought it was too small to bring to the Lord or something. And all of a sudden, the answer would come. And it would work out. And I think, this is the Lord. That happened to you, this is the Lord. And you think, well, the Lord answered my prayer before I even uttered it. This is how much God loves us. God loves you. He wants to work out things for you. He wants to answer your prayers. He's a mighty God. He's the anchor that we can hold on to in life. Oh, he's so wonderful. I love the Lord. I love him more than ever. I love him more than I ever have. I love him as I get older. I love him more and more and more. You think, how can you love the Lord more? The more, the longer you serve him, the more you love him. He just, what? He's sweeter. He just grows sweeter. Because you learn how he works with you and how much he loves you. Oh, it says, none of these things can move us. None of these things can separate us. And I wrote this little note here. I put, the love that exists between God and true believers is through Christ, the mediator of our love. It is through Christ that God loves us and we love God. I know, I was just thinking about, I didn't write the scripture down, but in the Old Testament there, when they come before the mountain, remember, and they were told, you can't touch the mountain because, you know, and you've touched the mountain, you will die. You know, and God's going to come down and talk to you. And they saw the thundering and they saw the lightning. When God's going to talk to them, they started running away and they were scared of God. Remember how powerful God was. Do you know he's still the same powerful God? If it wasn't for Jesus, that our mediator and the blood of Jesus, this is our only avenue to God. God is still that powerful God. He's still the thunders and the lightning and the powerful. That he could just, if he wanted to, he could just destroy this whole world right now. He's powerful. He's a mighty God. But it's through Jesus. We just had the Easter. Jesus died on the cross. And his blood, he's our mediator that we can love God now. And God can love us. And we don't have to be afraid of God. Because Jesus shed his blood for us. And we can come to God through Jesus. You know, that's really the way we're supposed to pray, coming through Jesus. He's our mediator. He's the one that died for us. We have nothing. We can't bring our good works to God. That's good to have good works, but we have to bring it through Jesus. Jesus is the only one. I remember reading about some story about a minister that he was dying. Maybe it was just one of the saints. I don't know, but it was somebody. And he had traveled many miles. He did a lot of work for the Lord, you know, and they said he was dying, so they went, "Oh, how it is there, brother, you know, just before he died." He said, I'm just dependent on the Lord. He said, "I'm just dependent on the blood of Jesus. That's all my only hope." That's all he could hold on to. It wasn't that I did this and I done that and I did this and I done that. That's not what it's about. It's about Jesus, what he did. That's what he did. You know, I kind of look at it this way. Sometimes the Lord just gives us a little job that we have to do on our way to heaven. Whatever job he gives us to do, we just got to try to do our very best, you know. And we just have to leave it with the Lord, you know. But it's not, that's not what's going to get us to heaven, what we're doing for the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to do things for the Lord. That's what God wants us to do. But it's all about Jesus. He is our anchor. I know right now. I just know. If it wasn't for Jesus' blood, I don't know where I would be. But it's because I turned my heart to him at 18 years old and he saved my soul. I know I would have made a shipwreck without the Lord. We sing that song, you know, the lighthouse. There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. And when I'm tossed about, it gives out a light that we can see. But if it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? You have no anchor. You have nothing without Jesus. If you just try to be a good person without God and you're not going the right way, you're not going through the works, you're not getting saved, you're not getting sanctified, maybe you're saved. Maybe you are really saved. But you haven't went on to that second work of grace. You're just kind of just trying to be good and trying to do good. We've got to go on. We've got to go on and do all that God has for us. God has the Holy Spirit to give us, to be an anchor to help us and comfort us and give us strength. Because you know what? We're going to have some hard times in life. We're going to have some trials. And we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us comfort. He gives us guidance. He blesses us. He keeps us encouraged. He gives us songs in the night. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. We need to go on and get everything the Lord wants us to have. I thank the Lord for that. Well, I guess that's just about all I had tonight, but I just wanted to encourage everybody that Jesus is your anchor. Remember that. Remember, He can help you no matter what. He can bless your life, and I just thank the Lord tonight for that.